Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
And that was Johnny Clegg and Savuka Asimbonanga as we move through the show and just keeping it light and enjoying the December days as we move into the festive season. And you are listening to Point of View. I'm Katleho Sehoto standing in for Phemelo Motene. It's just 15 minutes after 9. And we heard from Leroy Mark earlier on about what you can enjoy in terms of theater productions, Netflix series, what you can go out and enjoy as well. And keeping it light, we do have musicologist Dr. Sheldon Rocha Leal with us to give us more insights about our journey. So this musical feature of us that we have every second Thursday, looking at different themes as it relates to music. Good evening, Dr. Sheldon, and welcome.
Good evening, Katleho. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. So tell us about this song and why you've chosen, and maybe perhaps just tell us about this week's theme.
Yes. I was reflecting on the week that is this first week of December, and I realized that it's actually a very significant week. You know, South Africa, we're quite a small country if we compare ourselves to the big bad world, but we've created some phenomenal leaders in our history. And probably circumstantial, you know, that people had to rise to the occasion in order to effect change in the country. And as a result, we've had some exceptional leaders, like some of the top leaders of the world, people like Jan Smuts and Beyers Nordia, Father Trevor Huddleston, Oliver Tambo, Albert Ntuli, Nadine Gordimer, Ruth First, Steve Biko, Bishop Tutu, and obviously Nelson Mandela. And four of those people are actually Nobel Peace Prize winners. So that's quite a thing, you know, such a small country to have so many Nobel Peace Prize winners. And today's story revolves all around Nelson Mandela. And it's really weird also because, like, for some reason, all the songs I chose were either 1987 or 2013.
Yeah.
And 2013, obviously a significant date because that's when Nelson Mandela passed away. But he would have passed away tomorrow. So tomorrow is the anniversary of his passing. But today is another anniversary. So in 1991, discussions started being had about drafting a new constitution for the country. There was a transition happening in the country, and obviously we felt that we needed a new constitution. And CODESA was set up, and there was a whole discussion about a new constitution, and the constitution was drafted.
Yeah.
And the first one was rejected. And then they went back to the drawing board, and they started redesigning the constitution. And eventually, on the 4th of December, which is today, the second draft was delivered. And that draft eventually went to Nelson Mandela on the 10th of December, and he signed it, and it was then promulgated on the 18th of December. So these next 2 weeks are very important days and weeks in the history of the country, because actually anything that's governed in the country was established between today, the 4th and the 18th, and actually it was brought into law, it was enacted on the 4th of February, which is quite interesting because the 4th of December and the 4th of February, and 4 is such an important number for me because I was born on the 4th. So, so this number 4, and apparently Beyonce and Jay-Z's number is 4 as well. So, anyway, but so the theme today is about, you know, today was the day that Nelson Mandela got the new constitution. He passes away the following day in 2013. And so all the songs will be themed around a Nelson Mandela theme. So this specific song, the Johnny Clegg and Savuka song, was actually, interestingly, it was this song that was released in 1987. And it's quite interesting that usually protest music around the world follows a very specific formula. And the reason why it follows that formula is because the music is just incidental. The most important part of the music is the message. And so therefore, you don't want a music that's going to clutter the message of the music. So usually protest songs are very slow tempo, very minimalistic arrangements. The harmonics of the song, very simple, because you want to focus on the lyrics. But in South Africa, once again, circumstantial. Our protest songs are very different. They're usually up-tempo, they're quite lively, and cluttered with a lot of instrumentation. And the reason for that is because had they been the typical formula for a protest song, they would have been banned in the country. The censors would have never passed them because they were obviously saying this is a protest song, the message is what you need to listen to.
Yeah.
So in order to disguise the message in the music so that it wouldn't get banned, a lot of the artists would have these very jovial songs so that they could get the message out without being blocked by the censors.
And incidentally, that would make you even more sad. I don't know if you've noticed some of the most sad or deeply tragic songs have this upbeat, up-tempo rhythm.
Yes. So, yeah, it does make it even like Meadowlands. If you listen to Meadowlands, it's a very jovial song, but it's actually speaking about a very serious, very serious topic. So, Asibonanga has got a mid-pace, but it's got a lot of harmonies. It's quite cluttered. But it is speaking specifically about this this situation. The song, the word Asimbonanga means awakening. So it was this awakening, but like we're talking about 1987, people didn't know that Nelson Mandela was going to come out. Also, people didn't even know what Nelson Mandela looked like because they hadn't seen him for 26 years. At this stage, he was still on Robben Island. And it talks about Nelson Mandela being in prison at that time. And the word Asimbonanga means we have not seen him. And that's quite interesting. Sorry, Savuka means awakening. And the interesting thing is that when Nelson Mandela was in Robben Island, he was a big fan of Johnny Clegg and Savuka. And so he was very interested in what these guys were doing, and music was such an important thing for Nelson Mandela. So anyway, the song became a number two hit for Johnny Clegg in France. But more interestingly enough, a very iconic folk singer from the 1960s called Joan Baez covered the song. And her version of the song was nominated for a Grammy Award.
Wow.
So it just speaks to the power of this specific song and how it traveled generations in order to communicate this message that would highly likely have been banned had the song manifested in a different way.
Mm-hmm. So Sheldon, take us to the next song, and perhaps we'll expand on it after we play the song. But just a tidbit why you've chosen that song.
All right, so our next song is Josh Groban's Weeping.
Yes.
Now, the original song was released in 1987, just like the previous song. But this version of the song was released in 2006. The original was written by, the song's written by a guy called Dan Heyman and was performed by a band called Bright Blue. And it was like a pop song more than anything else, and it was written under P.W. Botha's reign. Now, at that time, there was no conception, although the country was actually, it was probably at its worst place. There was a state of emergency in the country. No one conceived, there was no conception that there was going to be a break in this, that we were going to carry on for a prolonged period of time under the same regime.
Yes.
And it was only with P.W. Botha standing down that there was a shift in what was happening in the country.
Right.
The song incorporates very cleverly elements of Nkosi Sikelel' Afrika in the song, which is quite interesting because the apartheid government was so threatened by Nkosi Sikelel', which was the anthem for the ANC, that not only was the lyrics banned in the country, the melody itself, the sound was banned in the country. So even including the sound of Nkosi Sikelel was banned in this country. And so they put the song in, that melody in, knowing full well that they were going to stoke the hornet's nest by doing that very simple, by adding just the melody. They put different words over it, but just the adding of that melody they knew was going to cause a problem. It's one of South Africa's most beloved songs, and it's been covered by many people. The Drakensberg Boys Choir, Mango Groove's done it, Vusi Matlasela's done a version of it, the Soweto Gospel Choir did a version of it. And then Josh Groban in 2006 came to South Africa, and he was looking to collaborate with a South African act. And mm-hmm. he landed up doing collaboration with Ladysmith Black Bambazo on this specific song.
All right, take a listen. You are listening to Point of View with myself, Katlego Sokoto, standing in for Phemelo Modene. And we're in the middle of our music feature honoring the late former President Nelson Mandela and the songs that related to him, especially during that 1997 period in December. Sheldon, tell us about the last two songs we just played.
So we spoke about the weeping song and how beautiful. I mean, Ladysmith Black Mambazo is probably one of the biggest South African exports. The way that they arrange music and the way that the singers work together, it's just such a beautiful thing and something that's so uniquely South African. And to hear it on, I mean, they've been on everybody's albums. I mean, Josh Groban, who was this classical crossover artist, they've been on Dolly Parton's albums, they've been on Desiree's albums, they've been on everybody's albums.
Yeah.
And it's because they bring that very authentically South African trademark sound onto anyone's recordings. But this song, this one that we just heard now, Zahara, it's quite interesting because this I mean, when she started her career, she was a young woman. She died very young at the age of 35. You know, it's, I think people underestimate the what it's like to be a star, you know, like moving from relative obscurity and anonymity, where your time and your space is your own. You do not answer to anybody. You can come and go as you please. You know, there's no expectation. To becoming a superstar off your first album. I mean, her first album, she had 8 SAMA Awards. It's more SAMA Awards than anyone else has ever won in history.
I think Loliwe, I heard that song countless times.
Yeah.
That year, and I think even the year after.
Yeah, and she actually broke a record, the fastest selling album since Brenda Fassie. So I mean, you go from nobody to like this like massive star in a very short period of time, and the expectations are high. The record industry wants another one of those.
Yeah,
and you've not been groomed to be able to handle that kind of pressure.
But don't you think that's where the gap is in our music industry? Especially in SA, anyway.
We're not grooming our artists enough to be able to handle these things. And so they become famous, and either they start squandering the money or they can't handle the fame, and then they land up, you know.
There are opportunistic people and elements around
exactly.
them.
So it's very sad. But anyway, so this, this specific song, Mandela, or I think Nelson Mandela, was from her second studio album, Pendula, and which sold 100,000 units in South Africa, which is double platinum. And in the song, she talks about how she wonders what Nelson Mandela would think about her now, like what she's achieved with her career. The reason for that is because just before she read, this is 2013, the same, very same year that Nelson Mandela passed away, Nelson Mandela invited her over to his house. It was a few months before he passed away, and he asked her to perform for him on his deathbed. Basically, he's on his deathbed. And at that point, he told her how amazing he thought she was. Obviously, he'd heard her music, and that's why he invited her over to the house. And he invited her over, and he told her how talented she was and how she was going to do so well in her career and what, and then he passes away. And this was like a reflection of, like, you know, what is he going to think about me? Or like, does he think that I'm that great? You know, like a child thinking about like what a parent thinks of them. And I'm not talking about a child when they're little. I'm talking about a child once you've grown up and maybe you've lost a parent and you're reflecting on like, what would it be like if they were there, like observing what I've now contributed to the world. And so that's what the song is about. And you can hear the urgency in the singing,
yeah.
That it's like that, like, you know, like, how do you think I'm doing? Like, am I fine? And it's, you can hear the urgency in the lyrics and the music. And it's just a very stirring kind of song.
Absolutely. So as we continue on to really celebrate the life and legacy of late former President Nelson Mandela, relating to his time in December of 1997. Now we listen to Brahuma Segela, the song titled Bring Him Back Home.
Yes, and you know, people often underestimate the power that musicians had in the liberation of the country.
Mm-hmm.
People like Miriam Makeba, who was one of the first, and Huma Sekela and Vusi Matlatsela, there were many musicians that were spreading the gospel of what was happening in this country.
Yes.
And had they not gotten out of the country and gone to go and communicate the problems that were happening here at the United Nations and various other platforms, no one would have ever known, no one would have been any the wiser, because the reality was that the apartheid government had suppressed everything to such an extent that you wouldn't see that there was a problem if you had to come here.
Mm.
It wouldn't be visible to you because there was no one around. So like, half of, like 90% of the population was hidden away.
Yeah.
And so if you came here, it would be like, oh my goodness, everything looks
great.
So amazing.
Mm.
And so it was these musicians going out there and going, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And do not believe what you're being told. There's a big problem there and we need to address this problem. Had it not been for that, no one would have known. And Huma Sekela was one of those artists. And he actually wrote the next song, Bring Him Back Home.
Yeah.
Whilst he was in exile, because had he written this song while he was here,
it would not have
it would have never seen the light of day. And so he recorded this song. He had a few like well-known musicians that co-wrote, produced, got the whole project together, and the song was actually inspired by something that happened between Huma Sekela and Nelson Mandela. As I told you earlier, Nelson Mandela was a big fan of music. And he was a big fan of Huma Sekela. And what he did was he wrote a letter to Huma Sekela for his birthday, wishing him, you know, happy birthday and all the best and great wishes and blessings, etc., etc. Smuggled it out of Robben Island and got it to Huma Sekela. And Huma Sekela was so moved by this gesture,
wow,
that he wrote this specific song. And so that is, you know, that's the other amazing part about music, is that it is a time capsule of like happenings that you can access 300 years from today, and you will know that that song was a moment in time that is captured. And I think this is a beautiful song, and it means so much because of where it came from.
Let's go.
Non-stop music.
Don't stop.
Rhythm and beat.
We are Kaya 959.
All right, you're still listening to Point of View with myself, Katlego Sehoto, standing in for Phemelo Modene, and we're in the middle of our music feature, celebrating, honoring late former President Nelson Mandela, and it's a tribute to him and the legacy he's left behind, and thinking of him through music. Sheldon, tell us about the last two songs we've just heard.
All right, so the last song that we heard was Eddie Grant, a song called Gimme Hope, Joanna, which I despise. I hate that song so much. But I was like, it fits into the theme, and it does communicate part of the message, which is like, once again, this is a protest song, but I mean, if you listen to it,
yes,
this is bar music, and that's why I don't like it. I don't like the song because it sounds like something you would hear at a bar on a Friday night where everyone's so drunk. They don't even know what's going on. They're
just
not listening to the message
of
the song. Yeah. It's just, but the song is actually, one of his earlier songs, Eddie Grant's I prefer more than this one. It's called Electric Avenue, which I think is a better song. But this song, obviously, this he's from Guyana, British Guyana originally,
yes.
But a British artist, from the album File Under Rock. And the song specifically speaks about the apartheid government and what was happening here. He makes a few South African references in the song, and but the song ends on a positive note that there is hope, and the Joanna in the song is Johannesburg. That's what he's actually referring to in Joanna. And so the song was released in 1988. It was number 7 in the UK, and it was number 1 in Spain, Holland, Italy, and Belgium. And the interesting thing is that the song was used by the ANC at a rally in Greenpoint in Cape Town in 1994. But even more ironic is that the National Party, the NP, the government that was responsible for apartheid, used this very same song in a campaign in 1994.
Wow.
Which is so ironic, because the song is speaking in a disparaging way about this apartheid regime which they introduced, yet they're using a song about apartheid to try and get votes. I don't know what the thinking behind that was. Maybe it was like, you see, we brought liberation to the country, so therefore, you know, like, this apartheid thing was something that was bad, and we don't stand by it anymore, which is weird, because a lot of the original, like, foundation blocks were still there.
Yeah.
They hadn't moved on yet.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was quite an ironic moment that the National Party actually used the song. Eddie Grant landed up performing this song at the Nelson Mandela 90th birthday party in Hyde Park, Hyde Park in London.
Oh, wow. I would have thought here.
Not right here.
Yes.
No, on the rooftop.
Yeah.
No. In London. And it's quite interesting, because every decade Nelson Mandela had like a big, massive celebration, and always at some fancy place around the world, some big stadium, because people just supported him so much as a central figure. Our last song,
yes,
is by someone who is of royal descent, Salif Keita.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Salif is that he was never allowed to pursue a career as a musician, because he came from royalty. And as a royal from Mali, you're not allowed to be involved in something like music because you're royalty. And so his song that we end off with tonight is titled Mandela.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Sheldon. Thank you for sharing your insights and wisdom with us. And as we close off the show, thank you so much. If you've been listening in your home, in your car, online, wherever you are, thank you so much. It really was wonderful. The name is Katlego Sehoto. You know me on Kaya News. Wonderful standing in for Pamela Modene. Such a wonderful thing and opportunity. So as we end off, that is Salif Keita, Mandela.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.